John Mark.
When I was in my early teens, I remember the excitement that prevailed among the people in the village. And it was just about the time that John the Baptist was going to begin his ministry of preparing the way of the Lord. It seems that everywhere I heard people talking about John the Baptist, about repentance, and about the work that he was about to be doing. And so it seems like the people were really in quite an attitude of repentance and forgiveness. And so naturally, I asked my mother, what's all this commotion all about? Well, you know, my mother's name is Mary. And she's a wonderful, loving mother. She was always concerned about my needs. And she liked the religious aspect of life. She was well aware of what was happening. She seemed to be following the prophets. And she brought me up in that very same attitude and frame of mind. And she said, John, and you know that's my name, that's my Jewish name, John. John is my Jewish name, and my nickname is Mark. And it really has a Roman flavor, and that's the reason I have the nickname of Mark. And sometimes I was called John Mark, and even at times I was called Marcus. So my mother continued, and she said that the ministry of John the Baptist was that of introducing the Messiah, of the one of whom the prophets had spoken of old. And so I was interested to know more about this John the Baptist and about his work, because I noticed my mother and all the brethren and all the people around the neighborhood, they were very excited about this work of John the Baptist. Now, during this time, there were a number of people who would visit our house, but there was one who frequented our house more than anyone else, and he was called Simon. And later he became known as Peter. And he told us many experiences of what had happened, and I was really thrilled about one experience he told me, my mother told me that he told her, and that he and his brother Andrew, they were fishing. And as they were fishing, Jesus came by and just asked them to be followers of him. And so they just left their nets, they left their boats, and they followed him. And I thought that this was an incredible story for my mother to tell me. But she told me, that's not all, John, that's not all. Because as Jesus continued farther down the coast of the sea, why, he saw two others that were fishing also. And these two were the sons of Zebedee. And the story goes on to say that he told them, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And do you know what they did? They did the very thing that you would expect. They left their father with the boat, with the nets, and followed our Lord. And Peter told my mother that they immediately forsook everything and began to follow him. And I could hardly believe this, but this is exactly what had happened. Well, needless to say, as I listened to my mother, these reports about the excitement in the neighborhood, about John the Baptist, about the Lord, his ministry, were making an impression upon my mind. And I desired to really know more, and I was really aroused about the excitement that was going on. And then I heard Peter tell my mother that on the following day, that after he had picked up, as it were, these four disciples to follow him, that Jesus had entered into a synagogue in Capernaum, and there he began teaching. And Peter told mother that they were utterly astonished at his teaching, because he thought them as one that had authority, so different from what they had heard in the synagogue before, in the temple. But they were impressed with his teaching. Well, needless to say, because Peter was a frequent visitor at our home, and because of his close association with him, I was beginning to recognize and realize that he was going to be someone special in my life. And he really was. He became someone very special, and I listened to him with intensity. I listened to him with earnestness. And little did I know that later on this would be of great value to me. Now, Mother's house was located on the western hill of Jerusalem. And it was a good-sized house with spacious rooms. And our house became the meeting place for the brethren. And it was a place hidden away from others. And many times they were pursued by the crowd while they would come into our house for refuge and also for encouragement and for fellowship. And it was really here that I became acquainted with a lot of the brethren in the area. I'll never forget the time that Peter escaped prison. We were all at the house, and we were actually praying for him so that the Lord would give him strength while he was in prison. It was late at night, and all of a sudden we heard knocking at the door. We didn't know whether to answer it or not. Our prayers were interrupted. Finally, Rhoda went to the door. She saw Peter, but in her excitement, she left him standing there. She came back, she said, "It's Peter." And they said, "Rhoda, what's the matter with you? Have you gone out of your mind? Peter's in prison." But he kept on knocking. And finally, they came to the door again, and they saw that it was Peter. So we let Peter in. And then Peter began to tell us that how the angel appeared, how he loosed the chains, and how arrangements were made for him to leave. And he came to our house directly. And he told us about the entire story. It was an experience which I'll never forget. Peter's life was continuing to influence my life greatly. We spent much time together. And I especially enjoyed his devoted spiritual life. He was really instrumental in my conversion to Christianity, because it was his great love, his great determination, devotion to what he called his master that inspired me to inquire more about his master. You know, Peter considered me as his son, and I considered him as my spiritual father. And it was from him that I learned so much concerning Jesus and his ministry about the kingdom. I remember Peter telling about the time that they were all on a boat fishing. And all of a sudden a storm came up. And they got scared. And they began to look for Jesus. They couldn't find him at first. And there they found him asleep. And they awoke him and says, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And Peter later told me that how wrong it was for them to say that. And how Jesus rebuked them for they had so little faith. Peter told me that we should have had a lot more faith because we witnessed so many miracles. We witnessed so many of the great proceedings from his mouth, the words that he spoke, that we should have trusted in him. But he says that we didn't. Then I remember the sorrow and the sadness when John the Baptist was beheaded, and what a plot that was. In order to cover up his own sinful condition in marrying his brother's wife, circumstances were such where, in yielding to Herodotus' desire, he granted her anything she wanted, and she connived with her mother, and what she wanted was the head of John the Baptist. And so he had to carry out the transaction, even though he disliked doing it. And that kind of upset the community in hearing about John the Baptist and his particular experience. Then I remember Peter telling me about the experience that they had as they were preaching to the people. They found out that it was getting late in the day and that they had nothing to eat. And so they asked Jesus, "Should we purchase some bread?" Well, Jesus asked them, how many loaves of bread do you have among you?" So they made a search and they found out they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus blessed it and asked them to start distributing it to the people. And you believe that they fed 5,000 people, over 5,000 people. And when they picked up the remains, they had 12 basketfuls. Then Peter also told me about the time that the Lord had taken up Peter, James, and John up on a mountain. And there he transfigured himself. And he appeared as a bright white shining light, whiter than snow. And then immediately they found themselves surrounded also with Moses and Elijah. And Peter was overwhelmed with this arrangement. And he immediately thought that this is a good place to remain, good place to stay. And he asked the Lord if he couldn't build three tabernacles. But then very shortly a cloud overshadowed them. And they heard a voice and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." These were the many blessings that I received from the fellowship that I enjoyed with the Apostle Peter. He told me about the many miracles that the Lord had performed. And he told me with tears that experience he had of the denial of our Lord, and how sorry he was about that. And he related to me the crucifixion scene, the death of our Lord, the burial of our Lord, and then how a few days later the stone was rolled away and the women came and that the Lord was risen. All of this information I received from my spiritual father, the Apostle Peter. I also had the privilege to know and work with the Apostle Paul. And in fact, I joined him and also Barnabas, my cousin, on his first missionary journey. You know, I left the missionary group at Perga and I went home. And I gave no reason for leaving. This really displeased the Apostle Paul. He displeased him so much that when the second trip was being arranged and Peter was asking for me to be join them, why, they didn't want me along. They didn't want me at all. But unfortunately, this also caused a rift between Paul and Barnabas, because Barnabas was the one who kind of wanted me to come along. And I was sorry for this condition, but after forgiveness and after time, why, Paul again desired my fellowship and had made requests that I join him on a number of occasions. I learned and grew spiritually from the fellowship and the ministry of Peter and Paul, their life, their words, their records enabled me to write the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark.